Welcome to PDGA Radio. This episode was originally recorded and intended to be released just before Masters Worlds. However, some technical problems prevented that. We're going to release it now, however, because it's still very interesting. We talk about the PDGA Major season. We talk about Jennifer's dealings with the rigors of travel and playing in a long season. And we learn some really cool things about the sustainability element of this year's PDGA Masters Worlds from a special guest. It's great stuff, even if some of the things we talk about technically happened in the past. Nevertheless, enjoy, and we'll see you in the coming weeks with new episodes of PDGA Radio. Alrighty. Welcome to PDGA Radio, the tweener PDGA Major Edition. It's Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen, and we are between not just two majors, we're between really all of them at this point of the year.
Yeah, it's a major time of year.
And we haven't really recapped a lot about what's going on lately, Jen. So let's start there before we get to our very interesting and unique guests. Let's start with this. We're coming off of a PDGA Major at AM and Junior Worlds in Peoria. A lot of people listening are probably familiar with Peoria because of the Ledgestone event, but also there was a major at the same site last year. It was a combined major. Right. It was Masters and Junior Worlds. So you were there playing in Masters Worlds last year. This year, AM and Juniors, 12 divisions, 12 PDGA Major champions. Jennifer, you were at the Preserve while this was happening, but you followed a little bit. What did you think?
Absolutely. I felt bad for them because there was so much delay. And, you know, we had just experienced that the week before at Des Moines.
Right.
For that championship with some storms coming through. And so I think we were all just kind of paying attention to the social media post about play being suspended for air quality, and then it was suspended for storms. And then, so I just know me personally, I felt bad for them because I knew what that was like that we had just went through as well. So it's hard to stay focused sometime with all those delays. And so that was a very, I think, unique Worlds, Junior and Worlds experience, just because that's not something that happens all the time.
For sure. And I was there on site and got an inside perspective on the whole situation and was part of helping to communicate some of it as well. And I just want to shout out several different groups here. I want to shout out the committee members and the leadership of the event itself, Nate Heinold and Jamie and that whole team, as well as, of course, the PDGA team and the marshals, because they had to deal with two different weather phenomena. They had to deal with severe weather, which is something you absolutely have to run and hide from. And we did, for real, in one instance in particular. A derecho came right across the state of Illinois with humongous winds. We had trees going down on the courses. We had assets blowing everywhere, tents and flags. It was not safe. And I want to shout out them for making the calls, because sometimes, Jen, you know this, when you have to make the call, you know, three horns and it's a lightning delay, there are times where players look at the sky and they go, where's the lightning? There's no lightning. and they get upset. Well, you have to take into account so many factors. You have to take into account how much shelter you have compared to how many people you have. And if the shelter is not enough for the people, you have to send the people away. And if the people have a 20-minute walk to their car, you have to take all of that into account. And so that's a tough call to make, because you know you might get roasted. They made that call with the storms. They made that call with the air quality, which is very strange. This is a new policy.
Yeah, that's a new one for sure.
But it's an important one. And I think we all agree that even though you can't see some of the perils that might harm you, that doesn't mean they're not there. And they made that call. And now you could see the smoke in the air, but people were like, I can breathe and I can play. That we heard very little of that from players. And that's the second group that I want to shout out here, is the attitude of the players. and their families, because we're dealing with juniors, was so great. They were so appreciative. They understood. Sure, they were frustrated, but they knew it wasn't anyone's fault. And we got a lot of comments.
Out of your control, out of everyone's control. I know we even had, I think we got up practicing up in Minnesota to the 180 mark. And so we even were concerned that possibly, because they say over 200 was when they would cancel an event, which you guys were over. So we were getting close even up in Minnesota. And so that was something, watching the Junior Worlds get delayed, we were even questioning if the preserve would possibly be delayed as well. But I personally was sitting there thinking, holy moly, what a nightmare resetting all those tees, the tee times and all the players. Praise to whoever had to do that, because I'm sure that was quite a headache with that many divisions and that many courses. So big shout out to everyone who was able to make that successful. And congratulations to all of our new champions. Such an exciting week for all of them, I'm sure, with or without the delay. So that was super fantastic.
And now we move straight to another major. We go from the plains and the farmland of central Illinois to the mountains and the arid desert of Flagstaff, Arizona, which is not far from your neck of the woods, Jen. And that is for Masters Worlds 2023. It's an area that has hosted a PDGA major before. And the last one that was there was some years ago, kind of legendary because of some of the unique perils, if you will, of Flagstaff. And I say that perils like hazards, right? Like sometimes they're a good thing on a course. Sometimes they're not. We had some storms the last time. I think we had an infamous hailstorm, just so you know. None of that in the forecast.
No, not this week. It's definitely hot part of the summer. But yeah, they played up on the highest peak, which goes, the course goes up to about 10,000 feet. And, you know, weather is totally different at that height of elevation. So that course will not be played this year just because they had like record snowfall this year. So I think it was like close to, and it may have even went over at the last point I heard was like 210 feet of snow. And so
210 feet?
Feet of snow.
Not inches.
For the, I think so. Maybe inches. Now I question life. I don't know.
They had
so much snow. To me, it's like millions.
An inch,
like,
might as well be a foot to you and I.
Exactly.
Where we live.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt
like
about
that's
it.
Like, it's incredible. I know that, yeah, life up there was totally hectic for quite a while. We'll go with inches. That probably sounds better. But
I'm not editing that out.
So much snow that this incredible staff up there working to make this tournament the best it can be, they couldn't even work,
right?
You know, until just recently. We got up there and played the tree bash, a couple months ago, I guess. And they were just trying to put in tee pads and stuff at Little America. And so these courses are legitimately brand new, just because the delay in being able to work on the courses because of the snow this year.
Mm-hmm.
So should be interesting, should be fun. I know the staff personally has been working extremely hard, and Flagstaff is such a cool town. You know, it's a college town. There's lots of fun things to do. It's absolutely gorgeous. It will be hot, like hot. Not quite as hot as Phoenix. Right now it's about 120 here, our great part of the summer. But that elevation sure does add to it. So quick reminder, if you're listening and you're going, just be careful with the heat, because it's going to be warm.
The sun is intense when you get a little bit higher. And so even if you're thinking 90 is not that bad.
Oh, yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is.
I know.
Oh, it's a dry heat. You can still toast pretty good.
I know. I have been down when, like, kind of a little bit earlier in the year where it was like 100 down in Phoenix, and I was out all day and didn't get any kind of sunburn at all. And then went up to Flagstaff where it was 70 and got fried. So definitely sunblock, lots of water, and just taking care of yourself up here. Elevation will definitely play a factor, not only in how our bodies feel, but how those Frisbees are going to fly this week. Mm-hmm. So should be fun.
You just set me up with a world-class segue, taking care of yourself. Let's let the rest of our listeners live vicariously through you for a minute. You know, you've been on tour. You came home from the preserve. You've only been home a few days. You're
about
to
days.
You're going to hit the road the moment we turn our microphones off right now. And what's your status and what is your preparation plan for this week at a major? Because I know you really value these master's majors. And I don't want to say you're the first to do that. I don't want to say that at all. But I think we would all agree that as coverage of the Pro Tour has increased, you're among the first sort of wave of players that is Pro Tour caliber and Masters eligible. So people are able to watch you go into playing Masters events. And you've decided to work your schedule around including those. So
yeah.
How's the bod and how's the prep?
Yeah, it's been definitely a couple of really busy years. Both Owen and I, as well as Sarah and Holly last year, I think almost made every double major, meaning we played Masters and the Open divisions. Mm-hmm. And last year we had two of those that were legitimately back to back. So right. We had like US Women's and then Pro Worlds and back to back weekends. So this year we have a little bit of a break in between, but as everyone knows, the Disc Golf Pro Tour schedule is packed, like weekend after weekend, to where now we just have to declare that we're skipping an event to get a week off. So no different here. This majors are a super long week. We start doubles tomorrow. We start doubles on Saturday, so I have to definitely get right up there. By the time this airs, we will have a doubles world champion. Mm-hmm. And then field events, I believe, are Sunday, and play starts on Tuesday. So this is super fast, very, very busy week. And yeah, there's a great handful. I'll just speak for the women and not the men, because there's quite a few men that play both now as well. Kale being one of them, who just stepped up to play both. But just in the FPO division alone, let's start off with the number one, the queen, JK, who our five-time world champion, who is now incredibly, I will spill her age because she does, playing over 50 and still playing the Disc Golf Pro Tour as well as these master majors. And then, like I mentioned, Owen, Holly, Sarah, myself, Stephanie Vincent plays mm-hmm. both a few, not quite as many. She will actually be my doubles partner, so maybe we will be crowned some champions this year. But it's definitely, with the sport growing and the tour getting to the level it is, I think we have a few years that we can definitely hang in there and compete. And it just makes for an exhausting body and a lot of time.
Do you already have a certain degree of preparation done just because you've seen at least some of the courses before? Or will you be like, will doubles, this sounds like I'm making a joke and I'm not, will doubles double as some prep for you?
It definitely does. And that's something I didn't used to do. I used to not want to overwork by playing doubles, but the last few years it's been a blast at the majors playing. Owen and I won a doubles title. Sarah and I last year won a doubles title. And so you do get that tournament pressure, as well as, you know, when you're practicing, everything goes right. And so the doubles event is an actual, you know, a time where you're out there on the course and not every shot is perfect. So I look at that as great practice for where you can land when something doesn't go quite as right. And so, yeah, it's been fun, as well as learning the courses a little more. And these are courses I know. Playing Tree Bash up there was a practice for Worlds a few months back. The few tweaks to the courses I've heard, but these are courses that I've definitely played for the last several years living here in Arizona.
Do you feel like they set up for your game well?
No. No, I don't.
Honesty is the number one priority on PDGA Radio.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think they're probably going to be extremely fair for everyone. With the Little America, the women are playing the shorter course. And so distance really isn't a thing. There's a few longer holes, but they're going to take everyone two shots. Mm-hmm. So I don't think distance is an advantage. It's just going to be overall who's going to hit the lines, make those putts, and survive the heat.
One more question before we get to our guest. People talk a lot about the way that altitude affects your disc stability, but people often just sort of blanket it. They go, oh, altitude, it makes your disc more stable. And then that's the end of the conversation. Well, This game is pretty nuanced. And can you add to that a little bit in terms of how altitude affects, maybe it's also a little bit unique to different players. So how does altitude affect your discs? Are you changing discs out, or are you, you know, just give us some insight.
100% changed my bag in Flagstaff. So for example, I have probably one of the most stable bags for a female, being sure. I throw max weight, Destroyers, Firebirds, Maxes. I have very few understable discs in my bag. The most understable being like a TL and a Mako. So very stable bag. When I go to Flagstaff, I throw my daughter's bag, which is a Starlight Turn. I throw a really lightweight Boss. I just completely different plastic when I go up there, because I didn't really throw anything different in Utah. Utah was about 5,000 feet elevation a couple years back for Pro Worlds. But at seven, it definitely, the disc is more stable. I would recommend throwing lighter plastic and definitely more understable plastic. And the putting is totally different. And I think it really kind of was one of the reasons where my putting kind of freaked out a few years ago, because when I moved here, I was playing an event, like it felt like every other week I was up at Flag. I was down here at Phoenix. I was up at Flag, down at Phoenix, and the putts really dropped faster up there. And so I think that was when I started kind of tweaking my putt a little bit. So it not only affects the flight of the Frisbee, but also how quick those Frisbees drop, I believe personally.
Does it take you a long time to adjust to completely new molds and trust them? Or at this point, have you got it to where like, you're like, this Boss is exactly like that Destroyer as long as I'm at altitude. So it's a one-to-one comparison and I'm good.
No, probably not really. I haven't compared exactly which disc. I just kind of know the ones I've been throwing up there.
Oh, okay.
And so I guess that I've thrown them enough up there that I kind of trust them to do that. And I realize I don't throw nearly as many discs up there. So there's just probably like a handful that I'll be throwing for the week. So
yeah. Yes, not only at altitude, but when you're in the mountains, you've got a lot of uphill and downhill. And I've noticed that shrinks my bag a lot when I'm playing in the mountains.
Big time, big time. And definitely some hiking on some of these Tut Hills, very flat. But Little America has a few little hikes that when you get to the top of the rocks, and it's lava rocks, which is pretty cool. You'll see the lava rocks everywhere. That you're pretty exhausted. And then Thorpe and McPherson both have a little bit of hikes as well. So unusual from what we've been seeing on live Disc Golf Pro Tour events.
Well, another unusual element of this particular major is the fact that it is a certified sustained event. And what that means is we're talking about sustainable when it comes to things like recycling, things related, of course, to PDGA's Throw Green initiative. And it's not as complicated as I'm making it sound right now, but to do a better job than I am doing of explaining it, we brought in the person to talk to about it, the person who actually achieved the sustainability certification for 2023 PDGA Masters Worlds. Her name is Karen Hendricks. She's on the local committee that is putting on this event, and she has been able to find some time to join us right now, as busy as she is, on PDGA Radio. Check it out. Jennifer and I are very excited to welcome to PDGA Radio maybe one of the more unique guests that we've had in the last year and a half or so. This is Karen Hendricks. Karen is a board member on the committee that is producing the Masters Worlds Tournament in Flagstaff here in 2023. And that may not sound so unique, but it's what Karen is focused on as part of that team that makes Karen a very unique person. So first of all, Karen, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, what you might not know, and Jennifer, I think you do know this because you're so well connected to people like our own Bill Newman, who often marshals at different major events and is a big part of Throw Pink and is also hugely behind the Throw Green initiative at the PDGA. The PDGA Masters Worlds Tournament this year has been certified as a sustainable event. And a lot of that is due to Karen's specific work. That would be, if you gave yourself a title, Karen, it would be what? Sustainability specialist?
Sustainability coordinator. But a lot of people on the board have helped. It's a heavy lift. You know, a lot of the community members were also involved.
So first of all, let's talk about sustainability, a little bit synonymous with the idea of Throw Green, right? It's the idea of being more ecologically friendly when we do our events, because our events involve lots of materials. So first of all, let's start with, what does it mean to be certified sustainable? Like, who is the governing body that bestowed upon you this this title?
Well, ASU runs a program, Arizona State University runs a program that has a league of cities, and we made an application. It's basically like a report card. It has 75 different points and four main areas that you check off items that you think your event can obtain to be a green event, and then you evaluate that after the event. So it's kind of a learning experience, but also setting goals out there. And so the four main categories are food and water, transportation, material management, and education. And so we have ticked off various items on that list, and we'll see how good we can do.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you're certified, but this isn't an after the fact certification. This is sort of a before the fact certification. And now,
like, we have to prove ourselves that we can do this to be green.
They gave us a certificate because we have put forth the effort to make it a green event. But a big part of it is being able to evaluate that after and really look at your goals and say, did we meet our goals and where can we improve? And maybe pass that information on to other people who are going to have large events. One of the reasons I kind of got into doing this was, you know, I think we have almost 890 or 900 participants in this PDGA major, which I heard yesterday was the largest event they've ever ran.
Wow.
So that's exciting. But we also create quite a bit of impact and quite a bit of trash and transportation when we get together like that, which is pretty fun. So one of our main goals is just to lessen that impact and really just be aware when we get together like this, how can we lessen our impact and still have a positive experience on the community.
So does that encourage the participants in Worlds to use refillable bottles, or is that like, go ahead and use your water bottles and make sure you turn them in so you can count for them? What does that exactly mean?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of great ways to evaluate that, but we are planning on using reusable bottles, and any plastic bottles that do get used for the event, we're planning on trying to make sure that those get recycled instead of landing in the landfill. We're also planning on using MVP, which uses recycled plastic. Mm-hmm. And okay. On their disc. So that's another unique initiative to our specific application, which is going back to the application. It's an application through a group of cities in Arizona. So another grant application that we applied was directly through the city of Flagstaff. And that was specifically to use funds in a specific area of sustainability, which was transportation. So we wound up putting some bike racks at various courses around the city. And so that way people can use either bus or bike to get to those outdoor places to not only just recreate, but, you know, instead of driving your car to the disc golf parking lot, you can ride a bike.
Well, and with backpack bags, that's probably pretty easy. Jennifer, do you think you can take your Zooka and come up with a way to make it into a trailer behind a bike?
I think it could hitch on easily. Yeah,
maybe that's a new accessory.
Yeah, I honestly, for several of these courses, it is easier to backpack. So not quite as Zooka friendly in the mountains, but some of the courses are.
I still think that's a good idea. A Zooka cart hitch that you attach to the end of the handle, and then it hitches to your bike, and then you can bike with a little trailer. Another $1 million idea.
Yeah.
Brought to you by PGA Radio.
It's one of those things, you know, it's definitely one of those things that could help you get in shape for the 7,000.
There you go.
Well, and parking, I know down in the downtown Flagstaff area is very limited. There's a ton of like breweries and fun things down around the college and stuff, but parking is very limited. So riding the bikes and those kind of cities is easier for parking.
Well, and we're certainly not going to be overusing oxygen at 7,000 feet. We may overuse some plastic here and there, but certainly not oxygen. Karen, I love that this initiative or this certification has such an aspirational quality to it, where you're going to see how you do. You've indicated, you said there were something like 75 points of emphasis, and then at the end we'll see how many, you know, you hit. Can you give us some other examples of some of those points of emphasis? I mean, 75 is a lot. Can you give us some examples of other things that you're going to try to do?
One of them is you want to try and use sustainable products, or you want to try and print all of your signage on recycled post-consumer materials. Okay. Or maybe you want to reuse those materials for the next event. So maybe not put the year on, you know, maybe we could just put PDGA World's next T-sign, and that sign might be able to be used at a different event.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of some of the strategies. One of the unique things that we get to do is we're trying to reuse some of the trash receptacles from a previous event. So we're using some 4th of July trash receptacles from a previous event, and that's something unique to our event. And for each of these little items that we do in our sustainability that we checked off, that we said that set a goal to do, we will gain points for that. So I set a goal of a platinum level, which is over, it's 75 points. It's up in the category. Hopefully we reach that. If not, I think it's a great opportunity to learn. And sometimes a lot of this stuff really for me was, at first it just came from an idea. Bill and I were talking about a previous event he had been to, and there were bottles all over the place, and mm-hmm. he was just kind of taken back by the lack of recycling that could happen there. And I guess here in Flagstaff, we're just used to recycling and caring about the environment. So, you know, that really paired up really well with Throw Green, because Throw Green is all about leave no trace, carry in, carry out, pack in, pack out, making sure that you're not invading any wetland areas or making sure that you're not disturbing any wildlife, making sure that you're not trampling what's there to enjoy. Because let's face it, when we go and we get to play disc golf in all these awesome courses throughout the countries, throughout the world, we're there for the environment. We're there also for the people. So I guess my main message would be take care of the environment and take care of the people around you.
So this is basically bringing a city and the event to work together. So you're working with the city of Flagstaff to use some of their previous materials. You're kind of, everyone's kind of working together. So you could, other big events could contact possibly their city or maybe a college that might also be working on a program like this to possibly try to get there sustainable as well.
Yes, I think that, you know, working with your local municipality is an awesome way to really engage the city in emergency services so that everybody can have a safe event, but also those essential services of, hey, where do we put this instead of the landfill? You know, we want to make sure this gets recycled. And sometimes that you start to tackle other issues that happen with the city. But here in Flagstaff, we have 6 or 7 courses in Flagstaff, and that's prime real estate. So we're lucky that we get to work with the city to use that property for that.
Can you give me some idea of, you said 4 categories, and one of them was education. What are some things that you all are doing in that category?
Well, while you're in Flagstaff, there's a lot of things to educate yourself about. But one of the things I'd like to bring to people's attention while they're here is the sky. We're an international dark sky city. And so if you get a chance, make sure you check out the stars somewhere that's not by any light. It allows you to see the stars. And one of the things that we're learning about the environment is that extra light can start to affect our circadian rhythms. So being an international dark sky gives us an advantage to be able to see the stars, but also enjoy that part of the environment.
So when you're out putting late practicing, look up.
Glow round.
yeah.
Glow round, you'll actually be able to see your disc.
Yeah.
and I challenge everyone, if you're doing this, look up and count the satellites, because you can see satellites crisscrossing the sky when the sky's dark enough. And I think there are a lot of people that don't live anywhere where that's possible. I know I didn't even know that was possible until it was pointed out to me when I was in a dark sky area. I was a teenager. I was 17 or 18. The first time someone ever pointed out that you can actually see satellites crisscrossing the sky. It's very cool. There were 4 categories you mentioned. We just said education. What was another of those? You said transportation already. What were the other 2 categories again?
Right. Food and water. So one of our main things that we're trying to do with water is have reusable water bottles. We want to give that to our participants, but also encourage them to use larger containers to refill their water bottles. And that way they can take care of themselves and make sure they can stay hydrated, but also we're not having to use all these plastic bottles that we might produce with an event this size. So that we're hoping that's our food and water. Also material management. We want to reduce and eliminate waste. So those are kind of one and the same. But waste diversion, we want to just make sure that that waste isn't going necessarily in the landfill. We also are trying to recycle some of the bottles that may be used. So like, hey, I can't drink water, I need Gatorade, or I need to have my sports drink. At least maybe we can recycle those materials. I mean, let's face it, there's probably going to be a fair share of beer cans.
Definitely some breweries up there that produce some good beer. Be careful. I'll throw out to I don't know when this is airing, Grant, but definitely be careful drinking that alcohol up at elevation.
Oh boy.
I've heard that it can definitely hit you a little quicker up there. So maybe not quite as many beer cans and hopefully a few more water bottles.
And but I was going to say, and if you're a smoker, you probably the best place.
That's a no-no right now. Yeah, that's probably an absolute no-no.
Probably the best place to smoke is while standing over your toilet or something so that.
It's true. The red flag warning is out there. You know, wildfires are a real thing here, so they're really trying to discourage any sort of sparks that happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, and we learned in a very direct way. I think this is related to the topic, Karen, air quality. We learned in a very direct way last week at, or 2 weeks ago when this airs, at AM Junior Worlds in Peoria, the smoke from the Canadian wildfires blew down into Illinois. It was a very narrow sort of swath where the smoke was particularly concentrated. And on the second day, I think it was, of the event, the air quality in our area was, I was told, the worst in the world. Was right where we were. The air quality index is rated on a scale up to and maybe even beyond 300. And we were in like the 260s. Well, yeah. We were in the 260s, which is well above the threshold where we have to cancel play. And, you know, that's due to air quality problems. We had to cancel play for a full day and part of another one. And it was, of course, for safe reasons. I mean, it was not good to be outside at that time. My eyes were burning. I have to talk in a microphone a lot, and that was difficult. And I know some people didn't sleep well. I actually had the smoke alarm in my hotel room go off for ostensibly no reason, but there was enough haze in the air that even inside my hotel room, my smoke alarm went off. So
yeah,
it was really bad, and we can control some of that at least by doing what we can to prevent wildfires.
Yeah. And that's something that in Arizona we deal with actually quite a bit is the air quality with the monsoons that kick off. We get a ton of that. And just being down, we're in, you know, the bowl of all these mountains. Mm-hmm. And so that air quality kind of caps off and hangs around quite a bit. So that's something I think Arizonans pay attention to quite a bit.
And heat seems to never help. It always seems to worsen. You know, not only the quality itself, but its impact on, say, your body. So that's never good.
Right. And I mean, where do we go when you can't go higher on the mountain? So, right?
We should have the cleanest. Yeah.
You can only go so high until you can't, you know, it stops, you know, it's not cool anymore. So, you know, I think it is good to put an emphasis on doing what we can. And originally, actually, I wanted to do a carbon study, but it kind of got away from me because it just did. You know,
there's just so much to do.
I think to be able to calc a carbon footprint of this size, you know, originally, actually, this is kind of an interesting story. That was kind of my idea, but I didn't really know how to do it for the event, which is still in the works. It's still in the works. But I wanted to see what we could do to offset that with like an energy company. And so I actually did write a letter to an energy company to see if they would sponsor the PDGA world tournament. And I didn't really hear anything back yet, you know, but I think regardless of how small we are, I think a rippling effect of taking a small action and inspiring others to do the same is huge.
Right. So at least, if anything, hopefully people will walk away with a little more education, like you said, and just the desire to realize the impact that we do have. I know definitely there's a lot of events, like we just left the preserve and there was a lot of water bottles that were donated, which are fantastic. It was so hot. But we need to do something about that after the fact. So hopefully this will educate the players as well as other tournaments and staff to rather they get the initiative and the certificate to go green. Maybe they just at least do their part on trying to clean up after the fact, because we definitely use a lot of plastic. not just throwing. Besides throwing.
Well, here's an idea that might bring this conversation to a close is mentioning, and you may have already mentioned a few things, but mentioning what I know a lot of work here probably went on behind the scenes. But what things will players, spectators on site, and maybe even people that are watching coverage, there'll be post-produced coverage of a number of cards on PDGA's YouTube channel of this event. What are some things that they will be able to see with their own eyes that they can kind of look for and go, oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, there it is. And then maybe take the idea, if you don't mind people stealing your ideas, Karen, and bring them back to their own local club or their own event. If they're an event runner, what are some things that they'll be able to see? You mentioned reusing trash receptacles from another event. And maybe if since they're 4th of July, they'll have flags on them or something. And you'll go, oh, look, a 4th of July receptacle. It's one of the reused ones. What are a few other things?
Well, first of all, about the idea thing, you know, everybody puts a dollar in. Everybody leaves with a dollar if everyone takes one back. But everyone puts an idea in, then everybody can leave with a lot of different ideas. So still feel free to steal our ideas and feel free to definitely expand on them. I would say another action is seeing the working with the city, a local municipality. Also, you'll probably see the players using water bottles.
You'll okay, see, that's one for sure.
You'll see trash. We really went into repairing a lot of our courses, and when we were repairing our courses, we were picking up trash that maybe had been left there. So, I think most disc golfers pick up trash, you know, but sometimes when you see a piece of trash on the ground and you're used to seeing that piece of trash, you won't pick it up. So If it's a clean ground though, and there's not one speck of, you know, candy bar wrapper or anything, if someone drops that out of the bag, you know, someone behind them normally picks it up. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you see pristine courses and people picking up trash, but also just reusable water containers for sure is an action that you're going to see. Okay. And our hope is to also put recycled plastic in those, the recycled plastic discs in the bags and try to use recycled plastic. So those are some of the things you'll see with your eyes.
So look for the discs that are made from recycled plastic. Will there be signage to look for, throw green signage or recycle here signage or anything like that?
There will be some throw green signage to help remind people to throw green. And there should also be some recycling signage at the trash cans. So to help us divert the waste into the proper place. So separating cans and plastic and trash.
Maybe everyone can go ahead and help us at the same time. And whether you're at Flagstaff at competing in the Worlds or not, maybe just at home this week, when you're out and about, go ahead and join us and recycle wherever you are. How about that?
Yes.
I don't think you can count that, Karen. I mean, you won't be able to count those bottles, but at least they will all be going in the right direction.
Yes. Yep.
And then, Karen, you're also going to be playing this week as well, correct?
Right. Yes. More like getting a lesson. Actually, I do get to participate. I'm very excited that I get to play in Worlds, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
how long have you played disc golf?
I've been playing it maybe 6 years, 2 years with a PDGA number. So
nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Good luck this week, and good luck to all of us recycling and throwing plastic.
Yes, for certain. Well, everybody stay cool in the heat. Make sure you take a look at the night sky. Thanks to Karen for that little tip. And thanks on a broader picture, Karen, thank you for taking on an initiative like this in a way that will help to educate other people to do some of the same things. I love that we can talk about an initiative like this without it sounding like we're soapboxing or like we're over politicizing it. We're just talking about doing some really smart you know, simple things that will make a difference in the long run. And I think that's really appreciated. And I hope that our listeners can turn some of this into action.
I agree. I do too. This is, the environment's very important to me, and I'm excited for all of our guests to enjoy Flagstaff, and I really hope they can take care of it and take care of each other while they're here.
Well, Karen Hendricks is the sustainability coordinator. I don't know if that is an official title, but if it isn't, it should be. More importantly, a member of the committee that is putting on 2023 PDGA Masters Worlds. And so for all of that work that you did, Karen, and for on behalf of all of those more than 800 players that will be participating, the PDGA thanks you for your work and thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. We'll see you in a few days.
Okay.
All right, Grant. So you know what that means. We need to recycle.
Or at least at least reduce and reuse.
Yeah, I was going to say that'll be the new instead of provisional. Maybe our speech will have recycle instead of provisional. But yeah, I think it's an incredible step on trying to help, you know, save our planet. And that's something that we all can do, no matter if you're going to be joining us this week at Masters Worlds in Flagstaff or wherever you are. Just let's take care of our beautiful planet that we live on.
Thanks to Karen Hendricks for joining us, and thank you for joining us as well. You can follow along PDGA Masters Worlds coverage on PDGA.com or, of course, on our YouTube channel and all of our other social channels. You can especially watch out for post-produced coverage and our brand new live show, which we are going to be doing every morning from Flagstaff. I'll be a part of that along with potentially Hayden Henry or other special guests once we get up there in Flagstaff. So make sure you tune into that. It's a brand new product from the PDGA. Other than that, we literally have to hit the road. So until next time, see ya.
Bye.